You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Matt talks about the importance of expressing ourselves through lifting our hands to God. Here's Pastor Matt.
Before we get started, I want to remind you of something that Pastor Ray started with us last week as he concluded a series on generosity and giving. And that is this prayer of ceaseless generosity. You might see a few of these around the campus. You can download them if you wanted to print one for yourself online. There's a little link in your bulletin. And really the goal of this is that we would, as a church, continue to pray that God would give us generous hearts, that we would exercise that generosity in our giving. Some of that is going to really culminate in November. On the 18th, we're going to take a really special Kingdom Builders offering, and some of that's going to go to some ministries, some missions-oriented ministries that are really going to bless the kingdom. And today, we're also going to take a Kingdom Builders offering at the end of service, as Pastor Chip mentioned. And we do that on the last Sunday of every month. So just want to ask you to continue to pray with us as we are and become a generous people. We start that series on thankfulness next week, and we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Yeah, God has really been good to us as a church and as a people. Well, I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 134 or your apps and get ready to follow along with me. We're going to read in there in just a moment. And as you're doing that, we're going to talk this morning about worship, specifically about our physical expression of worship. Tim Hawkins, the comedian you saw in the video, referenced a lot of styles. And, you know, some of our music around here, you've probably noticed if you've been coming for a while at Portland Christian Center, some of our music has changed a bit in the last few months. And really, I just want to say, Pastor Chip, Christelle, the worship here is phenomenal. I mean, it is outstanding. What you guys did today was, that was awesome. That was rockin' worship. That was great. And as things change, sometimes we can say, oh, well, is there a specific style that we're trying to emulate? Are we trying to do something? And I would say the answer is yes. We are trying to have a biblical worship style here at Portland Christian Center. We want to worship like the Bible tells us to worship. And what can happen is sometimes as we're raised in different church settings, maybe no church setting at all, or you've been here a long time or somewhere else a long time, you could be a more subdued person in your expression. You could be a very exuberant, like over the top, waving tambourines with flags on them. I mean, you could be from all across the spectrum. But what can happen is we can take our past experiences, the way we were raised or the way that we're comfortable, and we can put that on top of the Bible and say, this is really how I should worship, which is a little bit backwards. In fact, it's a lot backwards. Really, what we should be doing is allowing the truth of Scripture to overshadow and rewrite how we were raised and define a new level of comfort and a new level of expression for how we're supposed to worship the Lord. So a good question to ask yourself is, God, how do you want me to worship? And there are really many ways to worship. I just want to remind you, worship is a lifestyle of giving ourselves, all of ourselves to God, as outlined in Romans 12, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But today I want to specifically talk about what Scripture says about how we worship with our hands. So turn to your neighbor and say, hands-on worship. Dueling light bulbs, I like that, that was good. Hands represent our person, our power, our praise too. The raising of hands in worship to God is one of the ways that we take what we know up here and we make it a reality right here. It's important that we engage our mind and our body in the full and free worship of the Lord. You know, sociologists would tell you that when we study human behavior, about 10% of communication is verbal, and really the rest is nonverbal. Think about what's communicated when you're watching the Hawaiian dancer at a luau. Think about the signer to the deaf and what is being communicated with hands and body. When we're angry, we clench our fists. When we're worried, we wring our hands. Guilty people hide their hands often when they're being interviewed. Loving people are gentle with their hands. And desperate people, they throw up their hands. This reminds me of a sign of desperation in one of my sons a long time ago. Hayden, who's my youngest son, was playing in the living room. We had this couch, and it was a black leather couch, and it was up against, very close to a sliding glass window. So I would say, son, don't play on the spine of the couch because I don't want you to fall and then get stuck between the glass and the couch. And as much as I know you'd all like to hear that the pastor's sons are immediately obedient. That was not the case in this instance. And so Hayden decided, I'm going to play on the couch anyway. And sure enough, he falls down behind the glass. And so here's what happened. So he was just a little guy with his little chubby fat arms. And he's stuck there. I think his belly kind of got him stuck between the glass and the couch, just as Dad had anticipated. And so I did what every good parent does. I got my phone, as you can see. I took a picture. And because I knew someday that's going to preach. And look at me here today. So I said, son, you're going to be okay, and I'm going to help you. And of course, I threw in a like, hey, remember what I told you? But then he did this. He's right there. And I don't have another picture of this, but he went from here to just, you know, like, help me out, right? And so I reached down, and I pick him up, pulled him out. He's okay today. Hands are an important part of how we communicate, and they're an important part about how we worship God. So look at this scripture with me. Turn to Psalm 134, and we're going to read first in the NIV and then in the Common English Bible. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. Now look at the Common English translation. I really like how this reads. All you who serve the Lord, bless the Lord right now. All you who minister in the Lord's house at night, bless God. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Why is he yelling? Look at all the exclamation points, right? You learned this in grade school. If there's an exclamation point, you read it with gusto, because that's how we're supposed to respond to the Lord. May the Lord from the maker of heaven and earth bless you from Zion. This command to raise our hands is in the imperative. And what this means is that it's an authoritarian command, not an option, not a, I don't feel like it today, and today I do feel like it. In addition to the command, though, Psalm 134, perhaps more profoundly, is a part of the pilgrimage psalms, or what's called the Psalms of Ascent. Now, scholars debate a bit about what that Psalm of Ascent would mean exactly, but the word for ascend here, by most accounts in Hebrew, is translated as to go up or stairs. And the idea would be that as you walked up to the temple of God, you would ascend a set of stairs, and at the same time, you would ascend in your praises. In other words, they'd start in one way, and then they would get more and more exuberant and profound as you went. So in the Old Testament, there was a temple, and that's where God's presence was. Now, praise God, here, since Jesus has left his spirit with us, now the people are his temple. Oh, this is a great truth. In the Old Testament, there was a temple for his people. In the New Testament, there are a people that are his temple. Praise God for that. But as you went to go to the presence of the Lord, that was the one spot in the world. And you'd walk up the stairs, and as you would, you'd start with praising, and then you'd start maybe with then some hand clapping, and then some hand raising, and then some voice lifting, and then some dancing. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that. Not a good dancer. And then some shouting, some lifting of praises to the Lord. You would ascend in your praise as you ascended to the temple. And church, as we get closer and closer to God, as we want to, we need to approach him with praises, with reverence, with respect, with joy in our hearts, with songs in our mouths, and with hands lifted high and voices shouted loud to show the King of Kings we want to be in his presence. Let me pray over this sermon before we jump right in. Lord, thank you for your word. Would you illuminate in us exactly what you want us to learn today? As we know you always do, when we read your word, it will not return void. So God, today, teach us how you want us to worship. We love you and we ask this in your name. Amen. So as we look at this scripture, I'm just going to break it into four simple parts, and they're all going to be about hands. So the first one, if you're taking notes, is holy hands. Write down holy hands. All you who serve the Lord, lift up your hands, Psalm 134 says. 1 Timothy 2:8 echoes this. It says, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. So when we lift holy hands to the Lord, here are a few things that our holy hands do. One, if you're taking notes, they are serious. So write down serious. Our holy hands are serious. Hebrews 12:28. Second part of that verse, and on to 29, says, worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. I mean, that's pretty serious. If you're going to approach a God who is a consuming fire, there's an element of reverence and seriousness there. You know, we do this all the time, though, with our hands. When we are in a judge's court, what do? We put our hand on a Bible, we raise the other one, and we make an oath, and we say that we'll tell the truth. Now, we don't do this very often, but in a monarchy culture, there's quite a bit of protocol for entering into the court of a royal. When a court visitor is to be ushered into the presence of royalty, there's a officer of protocol that will first give some instructions. So here's an excerpt from Conduct Expected in the Royal Courts. If you came after the door is shut, you could not enter. Show courtesy by bowing and standing back about 10 feet. Remain standing until allowed to sit. No frivolous talking. You hear me all? No frivolous talking. One could only approach the throne if asked to do so by the crown, and if called, respond promptly. I think we should look at Psalm 134 as an invitation from the crown. If this kind of seriousness is shown to an earthly king, how much more should we communicate with our love and expression that we want to be before the King of Kings? He is the one who made the universe. He's the one who made you and me. He is our healer. He is our helper. He's the one who saves us. He's the one worthy of our hands lifted high in praise. Now, somewhere along the way, silent reverence became the primary way that many of us give reverence to God and praise. But frankly, you would not see that as the main way or even a common way to give God reverence and praise in Scripture. And it's certainly not the only way. In fact, far more do we see an exuberant expression of worship for God in the Bible. And we are to enter His presence with reverence, and the conduct expected in that reverence, Scripture says, is hands lifted high. So something else we do with our hands, they're serious, they also salute. Write down saluting or salute in your notes there. Now, saluting is really a form of respect for us. It communicates a few different things, and it has its roots in the days of old. Go back to the days where you're riding a horse as a knight, all right? And you've got a sword strapped over here to your left side. When you would ride up to another knight or another person in battle, if you wanted to be friendly with them, you would raise your hand just like this, because it says, I'm not drawing my sword, I'm friendly, we're okay, my defenses are down, and the other person would do the same. If they went like this, then, you know, you had to do something different. So that kind of turned from this into this, and this is how we get our salute today. It's not on a weapon, it's up here in the air. And when we raise our hands to God, we are putting our defenses down, we're showing Him the respect that He deserves. Another thing our holy hands do is that they surrender. So a third point there is surrender. Remember the old westerns, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? Or maybe if you're not into that, I don't know how you couldn't be, but if you're not, a modern police drama, and they surround the building, and then they draw their guns, and they say, come out with your hands up. That's right. Because hands up is a universal sign of surrender. Now, that may sound a little negative to you, but in a positive sense, there are some really good things that happen when we surrender to God. One is that we acknowledge our shortcomings, our guilt. God, I'm sorry. I know that I did what was wrong. And another thing we do is we abandon ourselves. Psalm 63, 3 through 4 says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift my hands up in your name. Your loving kindness is better than life. Lord, your loving kindness is better than my life, better than anything I've ever done. Thank you for what you've given me. You know, Scripture says that it's the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. Isn't that amazing that God loved you first? In His kindness, you were even able to repent in the first place. Wow, God's loving kindness is truly better than life. Well, this brings me to a second point today. So we have holy hands, and the second part of that Scripture is helping hands. Write down helping hands. All you who minister in the Lord's house at night, bless the Lord. Well, what does this mean? What's going on here? One thing you could put in your notes is the word sacrifice. One thing that's going on here is there's a sacrifice being made. Standing at night, ministering in the house of the Lord. This is the priest before the ark or before an altar, ministering to the Lord all through the hours of the night, making a sacrifice for God, ministering. Psalm 141:2 says, accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. Let me draw your attention to a scripture that you are probably familiar with, and if not, this is one of the greatest scriptures on worship in general in the Bible, and it's Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me read it to you out of the New Living Translation. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Did you know that worship is a lifestyle of sacrifice to God, not just a Sunday morning song set? You know, Pastor Tom, one of our youth pastors, does a great job when he teaches this. He says, worship through song. He's very specific whenever he teaches. So, you know, those of you in high school, it probably rings true and familiar to you. Worship through song. Because part of our worship is worship through song. But beyond song is worship as a lifestyle of sacrifice to God. Giving all of our bodies, according to this scripture, is the minimum reasonable act of worship to God. So we're to use all of ourselves. What's the sacrifice? It's us. All of our lives, all of our bodies. And one of the ways that we do this is by serving God through serving one another. So that brings me to a second thing, is serving. So helping hands also serve people. I firmly believe this. Everyone in this room is a 10 in some area. You go, oh, what does that mean? We feel good. I just called you a 10, right? You got the highest score possible. You're a winner today. Imagine you're serving here at this church, Portland Christian Center. Imagine for a moment that you heard Pastor Chip today and you're thinking about Christmas and you're like, you know what? I am going to grab that little sign-up sheet and I'm going to be a part of Christmas because I believe in that outreach and I know we're going to reach people for Christ and I'm going to be a part. Or you jump online and you fill it out there. Either way, imagine it's Christmas and you're serving and you're helping with the kids or the youth or you're out doing some ushering or greeting. And then there's a panel of Olympic judges, and they all have a card, and you get done serving, and what do? They hold up a 10, every single one of them, 10s across the board, and the crowd goes wild. I believe that everyone here is a 10 in some area because God has made you and fashioned you to want to serve and to be able to serve and to use the gifts that he has given you and put within you to serve the body of Christ, and that's a way that we bless God. That's a way that we worship the Lord with our hands. How do we do this? Well, some of you, you're great encouragers. You put a hand on the back. You give a thumbs up. Some of you are givers. You put a hand out. Some of you are leaders. You use a beckoning hand. Some of you are rescuers. You put out a reaching hand, and you help save people. How do I worship God with my hands? Volunteer your hands to be in his service. I call this serving on the dream team. You remember the 80s? The 80s. We love the 80s. Remember when we were able to make basketball an Olympic sport and we were like, oh, yeah. You know, so we put together the dream team. And they were like the best basketball players on the planet. And we crushed the world. I mean, we put the world to shame. Does anybody remember that? Like, it was amazing. You know, we didn't win every Olympic event, but there was no question about basketball. And really that held true for years and years and years. Serve on the dream team. Be a part of God's dream team. Serve with the gifts that God has given you, and you'll find that your worship of God is far fuller when you're serving him. A third thing, heavy hands. Write this in your note. Point number 3, heavy hands. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. Now, I don't mean heavy-handed, like clumsy, awkward, or man, that guy really came down heavy-handed on me. I mean, think of a fighter, a boxer. When you say that a boxer has heavy hands, what are you saying? That when that guy swings and makes a connection, it's like, it's a knockout punch. It makes a difference. That guy's got heavy hands. Well, when we say, yeah, these hands are effective, our heavy hands do a few things in worship. One of those is, number one, worship magnifies God and minimizes the problem. You know, one of the greatest personal benefits of worship is that it resets our perspective when it's off. Your problem that is huge in your eyes is all of a sudden a little more manageable, maybe even diminished, when we take our eyes off ourselves and we put our eyes on Jesus and we take our hands off of the situation and we lift them to God. I'm just telling you, there is power in raising hands to God. It is a command. It is something that we want to do in Scripture, but there's power in doing that. You raise your hands to God, and you're unleashing God's power in your life. When Pastor Chip or Christelle play a song, I want to encourage you, lift your hands and trust your life to God and watch as He unleashes power in your life. It's just a truth of life in Scripture. Exodus 14, Moses in verse 13 answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord that He will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the waters so that Israelites can pass through on dry ground." Maybe you know the rest of the story, that God parts a very large body of water. The Israelites pass through on dry ground, so He miraculously dries up the ground. And then just as they make it through and the Egyptians start pursuing them, God starts closing the waters in around them, and they never see those Egyptians again, just like God said. The point is, God uses outstretched arms to Him to handle some of life's biggest problems. A second thing that your heavy hands do, praise is the knockout punch of prayer. Look, when you enter into His presence to pray, and you start by praising His name, this is a good thing. Before you fight a spiritual battle, let God fight for you, starting with your praise. Exodus 17 in verse 8. Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men for us to go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on top of the hill with the shepherd's rod of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him. He fought with Amalek while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel would start winning the battle. Whenever Moses lowered his hand, Amalek would start winning the battle. When his hands were up, God's people were winning. And when they were down, they were losing. How many of you want to be on the winning team this morning? Yeah, that's okay. We're a hand-raising church. You can put your hands up. Look, when you raise your hands in worship, you're declaring that you are on God's team. God's the winning team, that your problems won't end you, that the devil won't stop you, that this isn't the end of you, but God, I raise my hands to you because I know that you can take care of me and that you will help me and you will be my victory. When we raise our hands, it's the knockout punch of prayer. Number three, praise is the solution. When we worship with heavy hands, praise is the solution. A counselor will tell you that when counseling someone, listening is often the best course of action, especially as you start. Have you ever been, maybe you've been counseling someone on your own and they've been talking and you just listened and you found that they talked themselves into their own answer? You ever found that to be true? People will often do that as they get a chance to chat. And by the way, not in my notes, free marriage advice, men, when she starts talking to you and needs you to listen, what she needs you to do is listen before you go and you fix it. Because, I mean, let's face it, guys. She says, like, "Honey, I have a problem." And you're like, "I got the solution, you know, like, I will fix it. I got a hammer and I got a nail, you know, and that'll fix everything." You'll get your chance to fix it, but just listen. Ladies, am I right? Is that kind of the best way to start that off? Just start by listening. There we go. Of everything I've said today, the ladies are like, "Yes, God, just let Him listen to me." You should take notes on that clap, men. Well, in your spiritual life, praise is the solution. Take your hands off of the issue, raise them to heaven, and let God be the solution. When we enter His presence with hands raised and praise in our hearts, we can have confidence that He will help us. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." You can be confident. You can be secure that the solution is in the hands of God rather than your own when you will raise them to Him. You know, that reminds me of one of my favorite back to the 80s commercials. I mean, you know, in the 80s, we didn't have great technology, so we really had to rely on, like, making a good jingle, you know, making it really stick in your head. Who remembers Sure deodorant? Does anybody remember that? I don't know if they still make it. But many of you are going to have the light bulb go on in a second. But remember, yeah, that's it. Yeah, see, we got to remember. Yeah, raise your hands if you're sure, right? Well, here, let me re-educate you if you've forgotten or if you weren't born yet. All right, so go ahead and show that video.
Raise your hand. You got it.
Raise your hand.
You know it. You feel confident, secure.
You got it. That sure, secure, confident feeling. Because Sure's double-action formula fights wetness while it kills bacteria that cause odor. Be sure of both odor and wetness protection. Get Sure.
Confident, confident, try it secure. Raise your hand, if you're sure. Raise your hand, if you're sure.
I mean, come on, you gotta hand it to him. At the end, it's the Statue of Liberty. And you're like, God bless America, buy me some deodorant, you know? You will never forget that jingle, I'm just telling you, you know? Like, it pops into my head randomly sometimes and has since I was a child. Raise your hands if you're sure, you know? Well, that's the idea, though. You get that confidence with God. You can raise your hands and you can know God has got it. Well, the fourth and final point is happy hands. Happy hands. So we have holy hands, we have helping hands, heavy hands, and happy hands. May the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Man, who doesn't want to be blessed? I mean, happy hands. Did you know that God wants to bless you? That God is our righteous judge, but he is not a cosmic bad guy up in heaven like, how can I smite thee today? You know, God wants to bless you. And he gives us lots of ways in Scripture for us to elicit that blessing. And this is one of them. And you know, there's more than just raising hands. We can and should get expressive in the presence of God. Who remembers when Tiger Woods used to win a lot of golf? All right. So what did Tiger Woods do whenever he would sink one in the hole? This right here, right? Yeah, the Tiger Woods fist pump. And when we get really excited, we start doing stuff like that. I mean, when it wells up within us, what do? When someone walks in a room and we want to affirm them and welcome them and we want to appreciate them? We clap for them, right? We put our hands together. We really laugh at something and we clap. I mean, we get excited about things and we clap. I don't know what it is. It's like built into us. You watch primates and they like sit there, you know, and clap. It's something about clapping. It's an expressive response of welled up emotion within us. Psalm 47:1 says, "Everyone, clap your hands in the sanctuary." It's a direct call to clap your hands before the Lord. And I just think, you know, as we're here, we're in God's sanctuary, we're an energetic people, that we should just maybe take a little bit of time to tell God how much we appreciate him today. Why don't we try that? Let's clap for God. Let's tell him how great he is. You are mighty, God. You are wonderful. You are holy. You are praiseworthy. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we glorify your name. You have saved us and you have helped us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God deserves all of our praise. We get clapping until our hands hurt. You know, something else we do to express ourselves with our hands is we hold hands. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, he just made us clap. Is he going to make us hold hands? Not today, folks. Don't worry. Not much of a hand holder myself, except with my wife. I got to be honest, because you know, there's a lot that goes wrong when you make a bunch of people join hands, you know? Like, when you get in a circle, and you're like, let's just join hands. And what do you do, like, when the person's hand is wet, you know? And what when you squeeze and they have a flaccid hand? Like, that's super awkward. Do I go over or do I go under? Like, question of the ages. Do I squeeze or not? I'm holding both hands, my nose itches. Pop quiz, hot shot. Like, what do? What if you go to hold their hand and they finger lock you, you know? Like, man, I didn't know we were that close. But seriously, holding hands does actually communicate some things. And I'm going to ask our musicians to come at this point. When we hold hands, we communicate unity. We foster intimacy. God wants you to be unified with him. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. You know, this reminds me of when my son, again, Hayden, was little, and he would want to either hold our hand or be picked up and held. And so he would look up at us, and he'd go, "Daddy, hold you. Mommy, I want you to hold you." And you know with your firstborn kid, how you like correct them on that kind of stuff? Because you don't want them to turn out dumb. You know, you're like, I better fix that, or he's going to think that that's the right way to say that his whole life. And your second born, you're like, oh, it's cute, let him do it. So that's what we did. We did not correct Hayden for years. I mean, as long as he would say it, it was just so touching to us. Daddy, hold you. And it's just like when we go to God. What do you think God sees and thinks and says when we go to him and we say, God, would you hold me? Would you help me? I need you. I can't do this on my own. And as your song is lifted, I just want to lift my hands to you. God, he's got to look at that and not correct you for, oh, look at you. What are you raising your hands in church for? No one else is raising their hands. You think God is going to correct you like the firstborn child? No. Yes. I'm going to let him do that. We also express our hands when we just raise them, right? I mean, when you go to your favorite sports game, so when you go to watch the Beavers, who won last night, then what do? When they win, you raise your hands. It's in you. No sermon needs to be preached. No scripture needs to be brought out. Because at the sports game, I mean, we're feeling it. We raise our hands. And that's the kind of expression that God built into us. First and foremost, not for sports, for him. When we see someone we love, what do we do with our hands? We wave. You know, every culture has a wave. They're all a little bit different, and there's a different word, but they all involve this. Psalm 63, 2 through 4. So here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. Isn't that what happens when we go into his presence to worship? It's like we're drinking in his strength and glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners before you. You know, it's that put your hands in the air like you just don't care. It's like the guy in front of your used car salesman lot that's the air-filled dummy, you know, and it's like, whoosh, you know, it doesn't care. It's waving around. It's just a banner flipping through the air. And the psalmist writes, that's how I am before you, God. I just don't care about what's around me. I care about you, and my hands are yours. Look, what's the big deal about raising hands? Well, other than it being a command in Scripture, even if it wasn't, I would still do it because of how it helps me take my eyes off of me and put them on God. When we resist or we refuse Scripture, we risk making worship about ourselves. It's how I feel. It's my personality. That's just how God made me. I shouldn't have to do that. No one's going to tell me how to worship. Worship is about God and God only. And anything you can do to direct your focus to him will only draw you closer to him.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.